Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back in unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris, the list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK, Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Want to say hello to the subscribers. Thank you all for checking us out every single week, multiple times a week. New interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Appreciate all the comments that you've left in the various places that you check this whole thing out. If you haven't given the series a rating, that's a huge help. Please do that as well. And if you're not a subscriber, take this moment before we get started to hit the subscribe button. Wherever you're listening from right now, there is a way to stay updated. It is the perfect opportunity to keep up with all of your favorite artists and what they're up to. I'm Kyle Meredith, one of those artists. My guest today, Bishop Briggs. It was just last year that she released her debut full-length album called Church of Scars, already back with the sophomore record called Champion. It just arrived a few weeks ago. And Bishop and I are going to talk about that whole process, the quick turnaround, and what it meant for the themes that play themselves out over the course of the writing. In fact, she'll tell us, it's more or less a concept record. And while it might be an album that's sort of rooted in sadness, as she'll tell us, there are big triumphant moments. Maybe you've heard the lead single, the title track, called Champion. We'll talk about the art of the anthem and finding ways to connect with lots of people for such personal little moments. And it's a song that she co-wrote with Kayflay. In fact, there's a few of those on here. And I think we're going to talk about most of them. My Shine, Jekyll and Hyde, we'll get the stories behind those. And if you follow Bishop Briggs, you'll know that she uses her voice to say a lot of important things, to follow a lot of important causes. We'll talk about that as well. She may not be an American citizen, but 2020 is an election year that she is very honed in on. She's going to tell me about her involvement with that and thoughts on the whole thing. But we'll also fit in some time for some fun. She's a fan of My Chemical Romance. Maybe you've heard they are back together. They're going to be doing a reunion tour. Yes, she's excited, but just how excited is really fun to hear about. Let's get into this and talk about the new record Champion. It's Kyle Meredith with Bishop Briggs. It is a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, my God. You too. Oh, my God. I'm so excited for this.
Let's see. I got to compliment you at first. Champion is such a powerful record. I have had so much fun listening to it. Congratulations on this one.
Really? Oh, my God. Thank you.
This does follow close on the heels of the debut record. And as that saying goes, you got your whole life to write your first album. But coming so close, you know, it's coming so quickly after your debut. Did you find that this one was a more concentrated effort of ideas?
Yeah, actually, you know, I've never heard that phrase, but that is so true. I mean, the first album, you don't even realize you're writing an album, and there's something really beautiful about that. And also, I think most people, when they're writing their first album, unconsciously or consciously, they are still growing their audience and their listeners. So it is kind of this bubble where you don't know how people will react yet. And with the first album, it was over the course of 2 years, and I was touring, and I really covered a variety of emotions and feelings and experiences. And by the end of those 2 years, it became Church of Scars. And then with this, it was very much a kind of jolt to action. And I found myself, you know, really seeking therapy in studios. And I was also doing real therapy too, to be clear, but there is something very, very helpful for me to, you know, create something from that pain and from that grief. And so, yeah, this was all written within 2 weeks, non-consecutively. So, and it was all about the exact same thing. And I think that was something that felt important. I kind of always had this goal as a human in this world to have a concept album, to have an album that was a very specific period of time. Because for me, I, as a listener, I find it so compelling to listen to albums. I mean, Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, and Adele, you know, when you hear these songs that are, you know, that feel as though they're about a specific person, time, place, it's so specific that it makes it interestingly very relatable, still extremely relatable, but I find it really compelling.
I love that you are a believer in the album, too. It's really refreshing because nothing against singles in the singles culture. That's fun. But to have an artist who kind of puts the time in, who puts the love in to making a complete record, I mean, that's huge.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's interesting thinking of, you know, when you do feel lonely and when you feel as though no one understands you, you know, you're not always going to want to listen to that one single on repeat. And you may for a second, but then the next day when you're feeling another shade of gray or another shade of blue, whatever it may be, it is nice to have other songs in the album to turn to. I just realized I talked about shades of gray. I'm trying to say like shades of sadness, but I ended up just saying shades of gray, which is a movie, but and book. But what I mean is it's nice having those different songs to turn to. And I'm really excited for the vinyl to come out, too, because I think that's something right. that listening on vinyl to a whole album, you know, is something that's one of my favorite things.
Absolutely. Well, let's hear about a few of those different shades, whether of gray or sadness. But we'll start out with the lead single with Champion, the title track here. You know, I was thinking about the arts of the anthem, because when you have a record that, as you're explaining, it might be rooted in sadness, this is not one of those songs. And to take something universal and make it specifically personal, it's almost like reverse, I think, of what a lot of people do. They try to take their moment and make it big. This almost seems like the other way. I don't know if you see it that way.
Mm. That's interesting. I will say, with this song in particular, it felt really important to have something that could serve as a mantra. You know, I was feeling like I wasn't enough. And the thought of, you know, having to perform this song each night on stage and to say I'm a champion with conviction and without apologizing, you know, I think setting an intention for a song can really, you know, make it go from something that is maybe perhaps like universally bigger. But I will say, with this in particular, it was really just about releasing the things that I felt I was holding on to, whether it was from social constructs that had been embedded in my mind from a really young age. But hearing what you're saying, is it means so much. I think those type of songs, you know, I do think they have to start from a pure place of, you know, wanting to connect with others and wanting to make sure people feel less alone. And, you know, whenever I sit down to write, you know, I always think of why I turn to music and what I gain from music. And for me, it does make me feel less alone, and it makes me feel like I can do things that maybe I wouldn't normally think I could do. And so the fact that anyone is taking that from this song means so much. And it also means so much because I know the headspace that I was in when I was with Kayflay writing it. And, you know, it was definitely not as strong and as big as the chorus may come across. So the fact that it does, you know, because I really wanted to believe it too. I wanted to believe that I could, you know, feel proud of my accomplishments, whether they were big or small, and that was enough to make me a champion. Or in treating others how I wanted to be treated, I wanted that to be something that would make me feel fulfilled enough, and that would deem me a champion. So yeah.
Yeah, but I also find it, you know, it seems to be reflective of, you know, the causes you stand up for. You fight the good fight for, you know, pro-choice. You've spoken out earlier in the year about Alabama's abortion, obviously the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
You know, 2020 is an election year, and a song like this, do you feel like you're going to be getting more involved in that conversation?
It's interesting. In the U.S., I live here. I've lived in L.A. for 10 years, but I am on an artist visa. Mm-hmm. But I still pay taxes, but I am not allowed to vote. And that is so disheartening. And it's also disheartening to, you know, really feel as though I am in my home and, you know, a place that I, you know, have a bed.
Right.
But I think no matter what, using your platform for activism, whether you have 5 followers or 500, I just think it's really important to do. And, you know, we live in an interesting time. We kind of live in a time where, you know, if you don't speak out, it can be from a place of ignorance rather than being smart for your publicist, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when I look back on my life, I want to be able to, you know, tell my kids, if I have them, or grandkids, tell them that I said that this wasn't right, or I stood up for it, regardless of being able to vote on it. I want to be able to be a place where people can at least learn how to be informed and learn how to vote. And that would be very, yeah. And also, there are places in the world where, you know, these conversations aren't happening. So even being able to have that moment in Alabama, it meant a lot, because I want to make sure that these conversations are happening and that people, again, interestingly, you know, that they feel less alone and they know what they can do, and they know that they still have rights.
I mean, if anybody is a qualified voice in this, whether you are technically a citizen or not, I would point to you, because you have lived in so many different places around the world. And that's important, because a lot of people, they haven't left their spot, and it becomes very scary for them. I mean, as a as a person of the world in an age of renewed nationalism stuff, you know, all of that, you know, I think mm-hmm. that is important to have a voice coming from someone like that, like you.
I will say I've met people that, you know, have also traveled the same amount, and they can be very, you know, closed-minded. And I think what's so incredible about social media and the news, you know, depending on where you're looking, is that no matter what your background is, you know, the hope is that you have the ability to make decisions based off all of the facts. And I think finding those news outlets and finding those websites that are accurately depicting what's going on is really important.
Absolutely. So I appreciate all the stuff that you're talking about on those avenues as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll turn it back to the music, too. You'd mentioned Kayflay, and you'd written a few songs together on this one. I'm a huge fan of My Shine. I think that what you're doing with your voice on that is so fun, and I probably hit repeat on, you know, that one.
Oh, my God, really? Thank you. Yeah. You know, I have to tell you, for the bridge of that song, you know, the God Forbid, you know, that whole section, God Forbid I'm Independent. when we wrote that part and it was time to record it, I was like, oh gosh, you know, just a heads up. Like, I don't know how it's going to sound. You know, I don't know if I'll be able to, you know, scream it in the, you know, in the way that I want to. And literally the first take is the thing you hear.
And that's it.
I was like, just came out of me. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm really angry. Because, you know, this song in particular, it stemmed from a very specific situation, but I quickly realized it's what I've experienced with every ex-boyfriend I've ever had. And that's really frustrating, you know? And I will say the line that is not mine at all, that Kayflay told me I had to put in it, was I make cool shit. God forbid I make cool shit. And I was like, I can't say that. I don't say that. She was like, you had to say it. And so I'm really glad that she pushed me because, you know, again, with like the theme of not hiding, and, you know, there is this weird thing with the social construct that's put on women, which is don't be proud of, you know, don't be cocky, don't be too confident. And so with that line, you know, I looked at her, you know, with the make cool shit, because I was excited to say the other ones because, you know, those were quick to my head of being frustrated by, you know, me making more money than my partner, making a difference in our dynamic. That does frustrate me. That should not be the way it is. And same with independence and free thinking and not being controlled. It's like those I just feel in my bones, you know, to be very true. And then the minute that Christine said, well, you have to throw in God forbid I make cool shit, that was when it was so jarring, you know, just that immediately I felt like, oh gosh, I can't say that. I mean, who knows if it's even cool? You know, I immediately did that. And I'm so glad that she pushed me. And, you know, as someone that, you know, was deciding to come into the session with me, you know, it was a kind of funny moment where she was like, well, do you not think you make cool music, you know, that you're proud of? And then it was like this, you know, very, you know, mirror moment where was literally the theme of Champion, which is you pour your heart and soul into something. Are you not proud of it? You know, would you not say that it's something you should be proud of? And so I'm really glad that we kept that line in. And it's been so much fun to perform live.
And kind of rounding out the Kayflay co-writes, too, because Jekyll and Hyde, I had wondered, when you have a title like that, the music matches it so well. And I sort of wondered what came first, because that music is, you know, it's kind of haunting. It's a little bit creepy. It's that darkness, you know, that kind of pushes forward lurches forward, I guess, is the right phrase.
Thank you. I came into the session that day with Joel and Kayflay, and I was telling them that I had this thing in my head that I couldn't let go of, which was whispers of a very specific phrase and snaps, like finger snaps. And I was singing it to them, like just this creepy, you know, creepy thing, which is now the, you know, are you Jekyll and hiding me? You know, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I also had this concept, which was Jekyll and Hyde, you know, two very different people, and not knowing which one I was going to get that day. And so that became the start of the writing of it. And then Kayflay was saying we could have a cool moment of, you know, making it an adjective, you know, Jekyll and Hyde-ding me, you know, that it's it's something that, like, if someone is, you know, acting completely different to how they normally act, you could say, oh, gosh, you're just Jekyll and hiding me. And that it could be this kind of cool moment. And so it was kind of scattered in that sense of a bunch of different ideas going around the room. And then I said, okay, well, to start this song, just, you know, play some organs, because that is, you know, my favorite thing. And so that intro you hear, and so Joel started playing these incredible chords with this incredible organ. And so that intro was just riffing, you know, just trying to come up with this epic, big thing. And we actually thought it was going to be for maybe a different song. You know, it just felt soulful and it felt good and it felt very natural. And then all of a sudden the song quickly became complete ADD in the best way, and became, you know, truly multiple different personalities. And a lot of the emails that we sent to each other when we were, when we got sent the demo is, you know, it really matches the title, which is, you know, it kind of could be four different songs in one. So the fact that people are connecting to it means a lot.
No, it's a perfect marriage of that idea and concept and the way it comes off musically. And I can say that in so many, you know, it'd be very easy for me to just go track by track, because there's so many great moments on here with Tattoo to My Heart and Someone Else and I Tried. And it's such a great record, and I so appreciate what you've done with this. I'll ask a bit trivial, too, knowing that the mashup that you've been doing live and everything, I'm sure you're excited about the My Chemical Romance reunion.
Oh, yes. I cannot tell you. So I took a screenshot showing that they are coming to the Shrine. And I mean, my messages are just full of me sending that screenshot to so many people. I mean, even people I haven't spoken to in a hot second, I need everyone to know this news. And it's so interesting, because with that mashup, it was really about, you know, people that really inspire me and I feel stand the test of time, you know. So it was 21 Pilots, Panic of the Disco, and My Chemical Romance. And it was this idea that came to me at like 3 a.m. when I couldn't sleep. And I just started singing how it could all play out. And just thinking of the songs that, you know, maybe people request of them often. And by people, I mean me, you know, the ones that, you know, are on the message boards that are, you know, requesting I Write Sins, Not Tragedies, or Stressed Out. But yeah, it ends with Black Parade. Yeah. And that song, even when we were rehearsing it, everyone in the band, everyone in the room, we were just so emotional. You know, I think they just were so ahead of their time. And I'm really thankful that they were huge in their time as well. But it's been such an honor to, you know, play all of those songs. But yes, when I heard about the comeback, I mean, it's not even a comeback, because they're still, you know, still being played everywhere.
Right.
But I cannot wait. I definitely have been scrambling for tickets and hookups. And I'm going to try and find my way. I'm going to try and find my way. So yeah, I can't wait.
Awesome. Bishop, it has been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time today. Congratulations on Champion. It's such a great piece of art.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for asking such thought-provoking questions. It's so refreshing. So thank you.
I appreciate it. It was a pleasure talking to you. Take care.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye. And a big thanks, Bishop Briggs. Again, the new record is called Champion, and it's out now. And thanks to you for checking out the series. Again, if you're not a subscriber, hit the subscribe button right now. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts from: iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Acast, Podchaser, as well as Spotify and even YouTube. You can subscribe over there as well. In fact, if you are a subscriber and if you haven't given the series a rating, take that moment, hit that rating thing, whatever it is. It's a huge help. I really do appreciate it. And after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. Again, that's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me at Twitter at Kyle Meredith, Facebook.com/Kyle Meredith. That's it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network. Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Plus, get free premium delivery on any bed with Base. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store today.